Hymn number 37. The gospel of thy grace my stubborn heart hath won. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive. The gospel of thy grace my stubborn heart has won. For help tonight. Our God and Father, we just give thanks for another opportunity to sound forth the gospel, the good news of salvation, the good news that the Lord Jesus came down to this world to save sinners. We just pray for anyone in this room that is without Christ, that has not made him their personal Savior yet tonight. We pray that tonight would be the night that they would come and be healed, our Father. We just pray that they would touch the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus, so to speak, tonight and be healed. That they would just come the way they are in their sins and come and have their sins washed away. We just pray for help for the speaker. We pray that the Spirit of God would be working in this room tonight. We just pray for the powers of Satan that they would be hushed for a few minutes as the Word of God is opened. We just give thanks that we have the authority of the Word of God to stand here this evening and sound forth the gospel. We just give thanks for all these things in thy precious name. Amen. You know, I'm humbled and I'm privileged at the same time to be able to stand here and give forth the gospel. Tonight, our authority is the Word of God. There's not anything that I say that's new tonight. If it's new, you need to correct me. But tonight, the Word of God is our authority. There's a well-known verse in Hebrews. Don't need to turn to it. If you don't have a Bible tonight, that's no problem. Just listen. It says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is quick," that means alive, "and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." This is our authority tonight. I want to sing one more song here. This song is number 35. "Oh, what a Savior that He died for me." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. "Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life." Let's sing together number 35. "Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Bibles, if you have one, to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. We'll start with, why don't we start with verse 14. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 14. "The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant, with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Tonight, I want to make sure that you know that the Lord Jesus loves you. He loves you very much. And as we had last night, it was in His plan that you would be here somehow. It was in His plan. Nothing happens by chance. If you're in this room, if you're invited to this room, if you were brought into this room, maybe your parents brought you in this room, if you came in this room in your sins tonight, it's our prayer that you would walk out of this room tonight with your sins washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our prayer, very simply. Christ is coming. Are you ready? Before this meeting is out, Christ could come. And how you are when Christ comes is going to make the difference forever, for all eternity. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. Satan lies to men and women, boys and girls. He tells them to wait. He tells them it's not true. He tells them it's a fairy tale for women and kids. Church, Sunday school, the Bible, it's just a bunch of fairy tales. That is a lie. The Word of God tells us there is a heaven and there is a hell. If you leave this world in your sins, God has no choice but to let you go to hell. That's how it is, my friend. Tonight, we want to warn anyone that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and has heard the Word of God before. You might be what I call gospel hardened. You know, at work sometimes we have hardened steel. And sometimes you don't know you're working maybe with a piece of hardened steel. And you'll take a drill bit and you will break it as you try to drill through it. And you pick another one up. And I'm not the sharpest guy sometimes. And maybe I break three drill bits. And then I realize that this is hardened steel. It's going to be really hard to get through this steel. But you know, tonight, the Word of God is like a hammer. And it breaks the rock in pieces. And if you've heard the gospel, God wants to give you one more opportunity to hear it before His Son comes and takes all of the believers out of here. But you know, something might happen before that happens. You might die. I'm not looking forward to dying. I'm looking forward to the Lord Jesus coming. It says, "Behold, I come quickly." I don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to come. But I know tonight that if the Lord Jesus were to come right now, I would not be here. Would you be left here? Would you be left here in your seat? There is no second chance. It doesn't matter what kind of books are written. This is the book, the authority, the Word of God. God is very gracious tonight. And I remember hearing one of my cousins give the gospel. And he talked about the gift of a warning. You know, I never looked at it that way. God is being gracious to you tonight to give you an opportunity. And He's going to warn you, do believe. Because if you don't believe, I have to let you go to hell. Hell was not ever created for men and women, girls and boys. It was created for the devil and his angels. That God has no other place for you if you will not have His Son. God loves His Son. God, we sing a song here, it says, "God in mercy sent His Son." God loves you. I want to read another verse in Timothy. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, you don't have to turn the page. It says in verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." We're going to skip around a little bit here. That is what God's intentions are for you tonight. He wants to have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's incredible. God has the best for you in mind. But you have to accept His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to take the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That's what God wants you to do. In 1 Timothy, back to the first chapter, in verse 15, it says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That's the writer there. He says, "I'm the chief." If a chief's in, and everybody can come in. You're not too bad to be saved tonight. There's no one that's too bad. The grace of God is huge tonight. The blood of Christ will wash all your sins away. That's what He wants for you tonight. And if we read again in chapter 2 and continue, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You know, maybe you haven't heard. Maybe you haven't heard the gospel clearly. You know, God is holy. God is holy. And we are sinners. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God's standards are up here and ours are way down here. And there's a huge difference between God's holiness and our sin. God cannot look upon our sin. He can't have our sin in His presence. So when it says here, there's one God and one mediator. A mediator is one to come in between two parties. I'm one party, God is another party. And the mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is God's beloved Son. It says, "For God so loved the world." You know, that's not the planet. That's the people in the world. "For God so loved the people in the world that He gave His only begotten Son." There was a plan. We heard it this afternoon. Go through that just a little bit more. Back before even you were created, God wanted to have a family just like His Son. He wanted to have fellowship with men and women like you. But sin came in. After Adam and Eve were created, sin came in. And that sin created a problem. Because God could not have fellowship with man because man was sinful and God is holy. This was not a surprise to God. We read that it says in Isaiah, it's as a father and a son were talking. God the Father and God the Son. And they devised a plan. It says, "Here am I, send me." That's the Lord Jesus. "Send me." And He was born as a virgin. Born by a virgin as a baby into this world without sin. He came in this world, and right off the start, before He was even born, they tried to kill Him. Herod, King Herod, he tried to kill Him. This world doesn't want the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when He was born, there wasn't room for Him. He was born in a manger. And we know the story. And He walked this world. God became a man. It's incredible. God became a man. He walked this world for 33 years. And He went to the cross of Calvary. And He let men like you and me nail His blessed hands and His feet to the cross. Men spit on Him, pulled out His hair. He hit Him in the face and mocked Him. He said, "Come down from the cross." What would happen if He came down from that cross? There'd be no gospel meeting tonight. There'd be no Savior. He could have called 10,000 angels, we sing. You know what held Him to that cross? It wasn't those nails. That love held Him to that cross. God could not look in the Lord Jesus. Because there was 3 hours of darkness where no one could see the Lord Jesus. And God laid on the Lord Jesus all my sins. It says He bore my sins in His own body on the tree. That means that God took all of my sins and He put them on the Lord Jesus. And He bore the punishment there for me so I wouldn't have to. If you won't have Him to be your Savior, you have to bear that punishment. And you'll have to bear that punishment in hellfire forever and ever and ever and ever. And it will never be sufficient to pay. God does not have has nowhere to put you if you turn your back on the Lord Jesus. God is handing you a gift tonight. He says all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's nothing you have to do. You know what that is? It's a surrender of your heart. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's a surrender of your heart. All to Jesus I surrender. Are you willing to take your ways and your thoughts and lay them down and say, I'm going to do it His way. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You know, that man, it says, went to his house justified. Tonight you can walk out of this room justified, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Let's look at it as scripture in Luke. I believe it's Luke chapter 8. There's a story about a woman we talked about briefly in the prayer. In Luke chapter 8, let's see what verse that is here. I think it's verse 43. Yes, in Luke 8 and verse 43, it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living with physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment," that's the Lord Jesus, "and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, Who touched me?" And then verse 46, "And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Verse 47, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." You know, the Lord Jesus is not standing in this room tonight in His bodily form. But the Spirit of God is in this room tonight, and it's striving with souls. And here you can touch the Lord Jesus by faith. You can just reach out and touch Him and say, I want you to be my Savior. That's all you have to do. And you will be saved forever. There is nothing that can take that salvation away from you. And what do you have? You have an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now into a family of believers called the Bride of Christ. You know, I said this, and I'll repeat this. God wants a family for His Son. Just like His Son. You know, when God looks at me right now, Ted Sufter, He doesn't see my sins. He sees me perfect in Him. Because the Lord Jesus bore all of my sins in His own body on the tree. I can stand here clean. You know, I remember, gospel meetings are very important to me. I was saved in the gospel meeting. And I remember the burden of sin was rolled away. It felt like a big backpack of weight rolled off my shoulders. Tonight, if you're in your sins, you're working hard. You're working hard. You know, Jesus did all the work. He did all the work. There's a verse. We don't need to turn to it. three words that I want to read that verse. It's words that the Lord Jesus uttered upon the cross. It says, "It is finished." There is nothing for you to do tonight other than just to believe. It's all you have to do. He did all the work. He was the only one that could do this work. If you know a little bit of history about the Bible, know a little bit about the Old Testament, if you know a little bit about the children of Israel, they were to have sacrifices. They did wrong things. They did sins also, and they did sacrifices. Does anyone think those sacrifices ever paid those sins? No. They put those sins on hold, and they looked forward. They may not have understood this. I'm sure they didn't. But we have the Word of God tonight, and we can see that all those sacrifices pointed to the cross. Now, 2,000 years later, we can look back at the cross. The cross, it says, in the center of two eternities. That's kind of complicated. There, it says, once in the end of the world hath He, the Lord Jesus, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. It's never going to happen again. God looks at the work on Calvary's cross and He says, "I'm satisfied. I am satisfied with that work." Jesus was the holy, spotless Lamb of God. He was a perfect, it says He was, in Him was no sin, He did no sin, and He knew no sin. He couldn't sin. He could not sin. He was God manifest in the flesh. You know, it's kind of a tongue twister, but God, the Son of God, became the Son of Man so that sons of men could become sons of God. Just think about that. The Son of God, He was always the Son. And He became a man. He took upon Himself flesh and blood without sin, like we have, into this world so that sons of men like us could become sons of God in the family of God. God became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 29, it says, "The next day," this is John the Baptist, "seeth Jesus," the Lord Jesus, "coming unto him, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." God's Lamb. The Lord Jesus is God's Lamb. Will you have the Lord Jesus tonight as your Savior? We're going to look at a verse in Revelation chapter 1. I think it's true. Chapter 1. You know, it says in the Bible, it talks about the foolishness of preaching. Now, outside these walls out here, this is foolishness what we're doing. It's called the foolishness of preaching. You know, that's probably very interesting to the angels why men and women would refuse the gospel of the grace of God. Can you think of that? Men come up with every excuse not to believe. I have heard almost every excuse, I think. I hope there is no one here that is still thinking about all their excuses. In chapter 1 of Revelation, there's a verse that is a very solemn verse to me. It's in verse 18. "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Let's look at that verse. "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." You know, there's a part of this story that we haven't got to yet. Last night we heard it. The Lord Jesus is not dead in a grave somewhere. He is alive. God raised Jesus from the dead. God is 100% satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is ascended on the right hand of God. It talks about it in one place, the right hand of the majesty on high. The Lord Jesus is alive. He's the first man to be in heaven. He has those marks in his hands, those nail prints in his hands, nail prints in his feet, and he has that scar, that wound in his side. Where that soldier took that spear and pierced his side, and it says, and forthwith flowed there out blood and water. And it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's how you get saved tonight. The Lord Jesus had to die in order for me to be saved. I could never get to heaven on anything I could do. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. There's a song we sing sometimes that says, God in mercy sent His Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. God in mercy sent His Son. There's nothing I can do. All the best things I can do, they won't do anything. All my righteousness are as filthy rags, just absolutely good for nothing. You know, sometimes in the shop we have rags that, you know, we have a rag service that picks them up and, you know, I don't know how they clean some of those rags. I think they just throw some away. They're just all black. You can't clean some rags. You just got to take a paper towel and you just clean it. Some of this grease is terrible. It won't clean out. That's the way your life is. You try to do something good without God, there's nothing you can do. You can live a perfect life that you think. But you know what? You're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for God. You know, you don't glorify God. You're not pleasing God. Let's look at that in Romans chapter 3. You know, sometimes it's hard because, you know, I look into the face of people. If this room was full of a bunch of bums and a bunch of people in the prison, it would be a lot easier to give the gospel. It really is. Because they know they're sinners. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't believe that you're a sinner? You have to believe you're a sinner. A, you have to admit you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. It's easy to get saved. Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that peace tonight? You can have that peace. In verse 10, it says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. You know, tonight, if you're in your sins, you're actually at enmity against God. It's so hard to tell you that, but that's what the Word of God says. You're enslaved. If you are not... if you don't belong to the Lord Jesus, you're under the power of Satan tonight. You have a different master. And that's what the Word of God says. It's not my idea. You know, we were talking about this a few days ago. You were born into Adam's race. And it's like there's this line of people of Adam's race. And tonight, God is handing you a gift. You have to get out of that line, and you have to get into the line of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't remodel your life. You can't do it on your own. You know, there's a time for everyone when you are not going to be able to do it on your own. Some people are pretty tough. They're really stubborn. My great-grandpa accepted the Lord Jesus Christ at 95 years old. We have a gracious God. Don't count on 95 years old. 95? Some people say they're going to get saved right before they die. That is really bad advice. Really bad advice. When are you going to die? You're an enemy right now if you don't love the Lord Jesus. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. That's what God wants to do, is He wants to reconcile with you. And He can do that through the payment of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God cannot hold me accountable for my sins if He's already accepted payment from the Lord Jesus. That's the story of the gospel. Are you going to accept His gift? You know, the gospel is free. It's a free gift, but it costs God everything. I hesitate to say this. It chokes me up. I was eating breakfast with some people. Lost their son. They lost their son. I have one son. I can't even imagine losing my son. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His son. They didn't give their son. They lost their son. But God gave His son for you. He would have done it for you if you were the only sinner in the whole world. God loves you, my friend. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Are you going to have Him? You know, tonight, it's not new with me. People think, well, God isn't fair. You know, this happened in my life, and this happened, and this happened. I understand. This world is stained with sin. You have to leave those things with the Lord. I don't have all the answers, but I have one answer for you from the Word of God. The peace that you can have by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ is something absolutely incredible. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This world, there's no peace. Tonight, He wants to just hand you peace. He wants to hand you peace. What if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? You know, it doesn't matter if you're in a plane sitting next to somebody or you meet random people. And they all have some reason why they're not going to believe. They're not going to believe because God isn't fair, because this person in Africa hasn't heard, and that's not fair. What about you tonight? You know, there's an answer to that. It says they have creation. And they're without excuse. Tonight, there's one thing for sure. There's not anybody in this room that has an excuse. You don't have one excuse. No one in this room can leave this room and say, I do not know how to be saved. That's one thing for sure. Christ is coming. And the day of grace is going to come to a close. And He wanted this gospel meeting to happen because there might be one person in this room who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be lost. You know, if you're not saved tonight, you're lost. If you're not saved, you're lost. You're lost. And the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why the Lord Jesus came, to seek you out. You know, it's difficult to get to hell. It's been said the road to hell is blocked with the cross of Christ.
You have to look up at that cross and say, God, I will not have your Christ. I will not have that man
to reign over me. When you say no to God's Christ, that's what you're saying. I will not have this man. Please, don't walk out this room. To get saved, when I pray, just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and wash my sins away. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God. Our Father, we tremble to think of someone in this room that has heard the message.